your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a little chat about faith and how to integrate faith into the different areas of our lives. And we'd like to start this program with a scripture reading. Today, I'm in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. I'm going to read this passage to you because I just went through this and it really kind of stuck with me. So hang in there. It's a little bit lengthy. Matthew chapter 20, I'm starting at verse 20. Matthew 20, 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Again, that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, starting at verse 20. And I love the kind of the punchline here where it says, "So you want to be great?" And Jesus gives his answer, "Well, whoever wants to be great amongst you must be your servant." It really touched me this week, and I hope it touches your heart as this program is intended to do. On this program, we like to share faith journeys and testimonies that are intended to encourage you if you're already a believer, and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So we're going to share a lot of that on this program. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break and be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today on the program. We have with us, back with us, my good friend, Greg Dickerson. Greg, thank you so much for being on the show. You are a good friend.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here, Jeff, and it's an honor to call you one of my best friends.
Mm. Well, we have a lot to talk about. Your testimony, your whole business life in particular and mine have been very similar in a lot of ways, and I like chatting with you because we can kind of both review some things. But if you would, just for our listeners, could you give just a little bit of a snapshot of what went on with you? Kind of pick it up pre-recession, recession, post-recession. Kind of take us through those years, and then I have a few questions that I want to kind of drill down on.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the classic rags to riches story. You know, I graduated high school, joined the Navy, didn't go to college, got out of the Navy, and the only two things I'd ever done in my life were restaurants and construction, and in the Navy I did retail. I was a natural born entrepreneur, and I wanted to hit the ground running and start my own business. So 1997, I started my first major company. I was on the Outer Banks of North Carolina and doing remodeling and building, and built a company from the ground up in 7 years, from zero to a $30 million company pre-recession, from 1997 until 2005, when I sold that company. and took a little time off and, you know, did some deals, did some investing, and then started another company back up, building houses again and developing land on the Outer Banks in 2006, or a 7 time frame. And then lo and behold, here comes 2009. And so everybody knows that story. So, you know, I was one of the largest builder developers down there, doing really well. And 2009 hit, and we were just put out of business literally overnight. Down on in that area, it's all resort rental property and second homes for the most part. There's a year-round population, but the bulk of the work and the bulk of the economy is tourism. So when the recession hit in 2009 and real estate values started to tank, and I'm talking to the tune of 50% or more on some properties, people were not putting money into them. In fact, foreclosures were just, every other house was a foreclosure. People were backing trucks up and selling the furniture out of the houses before the banks took them back. I mean, it was crazy what was going on. So I was fortunate. I had money. I had property. So I was able to weather the initial brunt of that. But that ran out pretty quick. And, you know, what I faced was, you know, basically lost everything. Went through a period there for a couple of years where just everything was stripped away. I pretty much lost everything. I had to short sale properties. I had to do some deeds in lieu because the banks were not working with me on some properties. And like I said, I was fortunate because I did have some money, but there was zero work. You couldn't find any work. Nobody was spending money on houses, not even handyman work. It was just really crazy. So we ended up moving here in 2011, and I had to start back over again and pick up the pieces. And I started developing some properties here and just, you know, building things back up. And, you know, so from the valley back up to the top again, and been able to rebuild everything and you know, kind of right back where I was pre-2009. So it's a really interesting story when you look back on it, you know, from GED to CEO, right? So it's, you know, I took my GED in high school and got out and went in the Navy and just learned it all from the ground up the hard way and put my faith in God, hit the ground running, and just got up and made it happen every day. And that's what I continue to do. So that's the short story.
Well, let me go into, if you don't mind, I want to talk about, if it's not too painful, the valley experience that you had. And a lot of us who were involved in real estate experienced the valley. From the mountaintop all the way down to the valley. What kind of lessons did you learn during your valley period when you, you know, kind of when things, the economy fell, all of the jobs dried up, and you're all the way down back at the bottom? What kind of lessons did Greg Dickerson learn?
Yeah, you know, that was interesting because, again, we didn't do anything wrong. We did what we did every day, you and I both, and all of a sudden the rug just gets pulled out under you. The analogy I use is, imagine you're a world-class surgeon and all of a sudden your hands are crippled. You know, what do you do, right? So, and especially when you're in a market where there's no business. So, the things that I learned were, number one, how little you can really get by on. You know, that was one lesson. And again, my valley, you know, there's much worse things that can happen, right?
Sure.
So I didn't lose a child. I didn't lose a spouse. I didn't, you know, I lost money and I lost property. So at the end of the day, from the eternal perspective, that's what it was. But it's a scary thing to know you have a mortgage payment coming up, to know you have car payments, to know you have kids to take care of, and there's no money coming in and your resources are running out. And I mean, I got to a point to where literally at one point there was zero in the bank account and I had to go out and make something happen to bring money in to pay bills, you know, create an opportunity. So what I learned was, number one, at that period, what I feared, what I was afraid of my whole career was losing everything, right? And I used to joke, you know, people would say, oh man, you know, everything's easy for you. You can have faith because you're so successful, right? You got all this money, you got the big house, you know, it's easy. You know, and I said, you know, if I lost it all today, I'd still be the same guy and I'd still be just as happy and I'd still be thanking God for everything. And sure enough, he put me to the test and everything got stripped away and I had to be the same guy. I had to be just as happy and I had to, you know, have the same faith. And, you know, for the most part, I was able to do that. I was able to look to God and say, man, I know this is no fun. You know, obviously there's much worse things in the world that can happen. But really what it made me realize was, just like Paul said, man, I can be happy when I have much. I can be happy when I have little.
That's good.
You know, I know what it's like. And I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, right? So even though in our viewpoint, things are just as bad as they can possibly get, no matter what, you know, God is still there. And I mean, even if the world came to an end, I still have my God and I know that's where I'm going, right? So that's what I learned was, I don't have to, you have to be prudent, you have to do the right thing, and you have to be, you know, responsible, But at the end of the day, from an eternal perspective, it doesn't really matter whether I've got $10 million in the bank or $2. It doesn't matter. God loves me. I'm the same guy. And it's just material things, right?
Amen. Greg Dickerson is our guest today on Everyday Faith Radio. And Greg, let me add to that. When I refer to it as the real estate apocalypse of 2009, and anybody who was in the construction or development or way out there in real estate really felt the effects of that, and certainly our family felt the effects of that. For me, that was a time of where I had to dig deep into the scripture, and that was all pretty new to me at that time. But I had this sense that the answers that I was looking for were going to be found in God's Word and reading the Bible. And one of the many lessons that I learned during that valley period of my life, Psalm 119. I'll say that again for any of our listeners looking to be kind of refreshed and rejuvenated and renewed. Go to Psalm 119. King David writes this, and talk about a guy in the Bible who's experienced the mountaintops and the valleys, right? He's experienced it all, but here's a guy who really pours out his heart to God on a regular basis. And when we read the Psalms, most of them written by King David, we get to kind of share in and experience kind of this love affair that he has going on with God. But the one thing that I found in Psalm 119 that I want to get to is King David wrote, "It was good for me that I was afflicted because it forced me to learn your word." And for me, one of the big takeaways of the real estate apocalypse was, for me, the good of it was it forced me to dive deep into God's word. And there, at that time, is when I began this incredible, active, living relationship with Jesus. During that time, I began to really kind of come alive with God and experience kind of that whole new life concept. But it all was kind of, it was almost like the good Lord said, "Now I've got you right where I want you so that you are fully dependent on me."
Right.
And watch what we do together, and watch what we do. And you'll find, just like you experienced, you'll find that the summation of that was, I'm really all you need.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the key, is that, you know, your faith will be taken to a level of deepness that, number one, you never thought was there, or two, you ever thought you could get to. And then when you're there, you realize, man, I can go even deeper. So those times, as painful as they were, and as afraid of them as I was, and for all kinds of reasons, you know, that's when I learned the most in business. So I learned a lot of valuable, as you did, business lessons.
Yes.
You know, how banks work, how to get through tough times, just how things work that I never would have known or experienced that have helped me in my career now. So it was an experience of learning on a number of levels, but you have to be open to that. You got to open yourself up and say, okay, I know there's something in this. No matter what's going on, there's something to be learned. There's something to be had. And then from a faith standpoint, just like you said, knowing that at the end of the day, no matter what, God is enough and I'm enough for God. Mm-hmm. And that was really the key, is that I was enough for God at that point when I'm looking around, just what in the world just happened, right? Because it seems like it's overnight. And I mean, if that's one thing I can say, is that the lessons learned and the deepness of my faith during those times, it's only during those times, because unfortunately, when you're on the mountaintop, at least for me, that's when it's the hardest to be open to learn new things. Mm. It's very hard to learn when you're winning. You learn when you lose, right?
Mm. Well, and one last lesson, and we're heading to the break with Greg Dickerson on the program today, is one last lesson that I learned was, this is not a biblical quote, but it's more of a motivational quote. It was, I think it was Mark Twain who actually said, "Those that get ahead are those who get started." And what I found for me is that the enemy liked to keep me in quicksand and keep me stuck and paralyzed. And just by moving forward, maybe a little bit each day, you get a little momentum going. And all of a sudden, you got momentum on your side. And again, it's not a biblical quote, but I do believe those that get ahead are those who get started.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can find something like that in the Bible.
We'll search for that at the break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of our interview with Greg Dickerson. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Our guest on the program, Greg Dickerson, my good friend. Greg, we were just talking about the Mark Twain quote of whoever wants to get ahead, get started. You found something similar to that the Apostle Paul says. Can you hit us up with that?
Yeah, and it's not verbatim, but I think it relates. Philippians 3, 12 and 13, not that I have already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Mm. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen. I love that passage in so many ways. I love the part because I think the enemy wants to keep replaying the tape for me of all my failures. And sometimes it's the really bad film of all my sin life that's ever occurred and show me all the places I screwed up, all the things that I did wrong. That's the tape reel that plays when the enemy is coming after me. And here I'm encouraged with this passage from the Apostle Paul when he says, you got to let go of that and press on, because if you focus on the wrong film that gets played in your brain, you're gonna get stuck again. It's that paralysis analysis that has happened to me in my life, and I have to really renew my mind, go back, really get strengthened in the Lord in a passage like such as that. I really hold on to that. And that is the question that I want to talk to you about, Greg, is if somebody is going through that valley, what kind of, is there any other encouragement if any of our listeners right now are going through a valley period in their life, what would you say to them? And they're just tuning in today.
You know, that's the most, one thing, probably the most important thing, is to just keep going. Get up, keep your feet moving forward, even if it's an inch at a time, just keep going. Don't give up. It's never too late. And it sounds like a cliche, but a lot of times our miracle is 1 minute away from when you stop, right? Or 1 hour, or 1 day, or one sales call, or one more at bat, or one more, you know, whatever. You know, oftentimes people give up right before the miracle is about to happen. And I think what God is interested in is a people that hold on to their faith and when they're faced with the loss of all things. And I think when you're down, number one, you're not alone. Somebody, I guarantee you, has been there before you and been through it. Seek those people out. Be open about it. Find somebody. There is support. And you'd be surprised when you start talking to people, just like you and I were having dinner one night and you said, hey, what's your story? And we started talking. You're like, you know what? I can relate. Mm-hmm. And then that, I think that's where we found a common bond in this whole mess. And we're not unique. There's a lot of people that have lost hundreds of millions of dollars during that period. And again, there's much worse things that can happen. And in this day and age, we see, you know, just turn on the news, right? There's a lot of bad things going on and there's a lot of great things going on. But when you're down, when you're at your lowest point, you feel like, you know what, I just can't do it anymore. I can't give up. You know, that's when you can cry out to God. That's when you can just, you know, God, I need you. Open the Bible and dig in, and that's when you'll find encouragement. There's other people that have been there, been through it, are going through it. You can help each other, bring each other up. But the thing that I've learned is you will get through it. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing you can ever do that will turn God away from you, that will make him love you less. And there's not a thing you can do that'll make him love you more.
So this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we're talking with my good friend Greg Dickerson. I'm turning to James. Puts it this way, the book of James in the New Testament, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Let's park there for a moment. There's so many things to talk about in that James passage, but the considerate, pure joy sounds so countercultural, because what kind of joy is it when you're facing a trial or you're facing some really harsh circumstances? What you and I came to experience, and in fact, this whole radio ministry was birthed out of the fiery trials of my life, is what James talks about, is that during those moments, as awful and scary as they are, that's when, if you lean into Jesus, you find yourself experiencing, again, what King David talks about is, in your presence is fullness of joy. So when everything else gets stripped away, there's nothing else to grab onto except for Jesus. And in that moment comes full joy and becomes, for me, the verification of a living God. And so out of that experience, I spent a lot of time with the Lord, and Jesus gave me instruction that you are not to just hold on to that experience and keep it to yourself. You're to share it. And out of that is what birthed this radio ministry. Let others tell their story, you tell your story, and get the testimony out there and moving. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and, you know, it's like you said, that verse there is holy cow, right? Mm. You know, consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. And, you know, that's the one verse that you don't want to walk up to somebody with when they're really deep in the valley, because, you know, it's just not the thing they're going to have ears for.
Right.
But on the other side of it, when you look back, as terrible as those times were, as bad as things were, you can look back and find those sweet moments in there where this, you know, Paul talks about a peace that transcends all understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in a situation, take it to God and pray, and that peace will come over you. And I remember a couple of times when, you know, I've never been one that's, you know, had an anxiety issue or panic attacks or anything like that, but I remember one time when, if you let yourself go there, you can get to that verge, right? And I remember facing a situation one time where I felt like, man, I'm on the verge of a panic. Mm-hmm. I mean, what am I going to do, right? I got all these things I have to take care of. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, I'm like, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this, right? So I'm talking to God like he's right there with me. Mm-hmm. I had a strong faith before I went through any of that. And I was on fire, and I was, you know, I was there. You know, my faith was maturing. And I always looked at, you know, pray continually, right? So I always, Jesus is riding around with me all day, every day. He's in the car. God and I, we're talking like he's my mentor, right? Mm. So anything I ever dealt with, faced, good, bad, whatever, it's always, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? And when I did that, and when I said, you know, there's got to be something through this. I know there is. I know when I get to the other side, but man, I sure don't understand it right now. Mm. Whenever I would do that, it would just, all of a sudden, it would go away, and I would just feel calm, and I'd be like, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. All I can do is just do the right thing, maintain your integrity, you know, through the whole thing, do what you say you're going to do, and just get through it, right? Mm. Just suck it up and get through it.
Let me touch back on this. In this passage, though, there's one thing I want to come back to, and it's this. For any of our listeners, if you're going through a valley experience right now in your life, you don't know which way to turn, you have decisions that you need to make. Here's the passage for you. It's James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So asking for wisdom, that was a whole new phenomenon for me during the valley experience, and a key part to ask the Holy Spirit, who will guide us in all things and all truth. He will guide us, but you've got to ask. Well, it's there.
You have to ask and you have to receive.
Yes.
So how does God deliver wisdom? Mm-hmm. So there are times when I've prayed and I've said, God, I just can't figure this out. And bam, there's some things that I know that I don't even know how I know. I just know, right? Mm-hmm. So wisdom is a application of knowledge. In the Bible, wisdom is described as there's the wise man and the foolish man, right? The wise man is the man willing to listen to criticism and rebuke. The foolish man is not. In the secular world, wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's the ability to use everything we've learned and apply it, right? So when those two meet the road and you're in a trial and you're in affliction, you have to be open and receptive to wisdom. Mm. So God will give you wisdom in your circumstances where you are, but you got to look for it.
Yes.
And you have to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a tough time or you're going through something, seek advice, wise counselors. Read, dig into the Bible. God will speak to you through that. That's where the miraculous, supernatural, and when I say supernatural, I just mean not of this earth, where those revelations will be found. Mm-hmm. But then it's in the everyday circumstances, talking to friends, talking to family, talking to wise counselors, depending on what your problem is, doctors, right? Mm-hmm. How many times do people have a medical crisis and they go to the doctors and doctors say, stop eating that, and they don't. So wisdom is found in the circumstances. God will talk to you through other people, but more importantly, he'll talk to you through the Bible. So you have to keep reading beyond that chapter, yes. And that's where the nuggets come from,
yes.
And that's where that Holy Spirit.
Hey, man. Greg Dickerson, thank you for being so transparent with our listeners and kind of sharing your pain and your joys and your victories, because you've had a lot. You've had an amazing comeback in your business, and proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Way to go. Well, we're winding down the program. I do want to mention you and I had a great week last week. We got to see Ravi Zacharias in town from the RZIM ministry. And then a day later, both you and I were at the Casting Crowns concert at John Paul Jones Arena. I mean, that was an amazing weekend.
That was pretty awesome. We also got to hear from Advancing Native Missions,
yes.
who brought Ravi in,
yes.
and unbelievable ministry and things that they're doing there. And yeah, what a story behind Casting Crowns. And it's like you and I said, you never know what the backstory is. And when you go look into them and, the movie that was out, I can only imagine, and look at that story. It's really cool to hear, where these songs come from.
Well, to our listeners, if you have not heard of Ravi Zacharias, please go to RZIM.com, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Greg, to you and your family, to all of our listeners, I want to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks, Greg.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.